gentlemen, two good sports.
Hello and welcome to another podcast for Two Good Sports. I'm Gareth Stewart.
And I'm Simon Hunter.
Hi, how are you, Simon?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Right, let's talk about what happened at the weekend. Of course, we have to start with the very sad news in sport over the weekend.
The tragic news, Gareth, of the Munster rugby coach Anthony Foley, who sadly passed away over the weekend. Just 42 years old, a colossus in Irish rugby, played for Ireland many times, played for Munster as well, victorious European Cup winning captain for Munster, and the non-rugby world as well as the rugby world have been paying tribute.
Absolutely, a lot of the former players as well. I was watching Tyrone Howe over the weekend talking about it, and of course Rory Best led a fantastic tribute to him as well, saying that they always talk about in sport that it is one big family, and they're saying that this is a prime example of how they all come together.
Absolutely.
and mourn for Foley.
Yeah, no, for sure. He was respected. You know, that's one of the things people have all been saying the last couple of days, Gareth, that one of those words you don't necessarily put lightly in sport is respect. And people really just around the world have had so much time for Anthony Foley, and he meant so much to so many players. So yeah. Very, very sad.
Right, let's move on. What else is happening with rugby then?
Bad day at the office on Sunday for Ulster. They were away in Bordeaux. It was the first game this year, Gareth, for their European Champions Cup campaign, and didn't go to plan after the 80 minutes. They were leading, though, half-time. They were 10-3 up. Andrew Trimble was back to captain the side. Everyone pretty excited about that. He got a converted try, and things looked pretty rosy at half-time, but Bordeaux came back to score three tries, and those three tries, very, very costly in the end. 28-13 defeat.
Yeah, but they have been doing very, very well this season.
They have been, yeah. They're 5-6 in the Pro 12, and they have been showing a lot of different signs that they can come back and win games, perhaps if they're not playing to their best. So they're looking good, and I think that they'll take a lot of confidence from the fact they can come back, but obviously a disappointing way to kick off the Champions Cup.
We have said this many times in the podcast, when the guys come in, they're standing beside Sam, and of course Q-Radio Stephen Clemens in the pictures, and they just dwarf them out. So you be brave. If you be brave and give off to them, all right? What else is happening then?
Yeah, well, plenty happening in terms of local football. Tonight, Cliftonville play Linfield, mm-hmm. and Linfield could overtake Crusaders at the top of the table, which a while ago you wouldn't have been thinking you'd be hearing that at all, because Crusaders have been playing so well. They got their first defeat on Saturday against Ballymena at the Showgrounds. Mm-hmm. And tonight, David Healy's side could go top of the table, so that's massive for them.
Absolutely.
A big weekend for Portadown. Not in a good way, though. Pat McGibbon resigned as manager. He was in the job 6 months. That followed a week in which their appeal against the 12-point deduction from the Irish FA was rejected. Some fans were protesting, Gareth, at the end of the game when they lost 1-0 to Corian at Shamrock Park. So it's not been a good few days.
Yeah, there has been a lot. We probably heard it over the weekend, and people talking about it, and especially on social media, people saying that some of the sort of the board need to step down and step aside. And there's been there's been quite a bit of chat about this, hasn't there, over the last number of days?
It doesn't look very good at all.
Yeah. Right, what else?
Well, last night, I want to ask you, did you watch the game? Liverpool, Man United, of course you did.
Funny, you touched on it there, and I was going to mention, the game is nearly becoming less about the players and more about the management now.
That's the thing. I mean, how much onus is putting the managers to get these results? The 11 players have to go on the pitch, of course, and turn out these results week in and week out. And the responsibility in the managers now is just, I mean, they're the fall guys, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they're saying that the rivalry between the managers and the managers not speaking to each other sometimes, and shaking hands and turning their backs on each other and all the rest of it. And not, in my mind, setting a very good example.
People always mention, you know, if you're taking Jose Mourinho, for example, Antonio Conte at Chelsea, some of these, Pep Guardiola at Man City, you know, people always say, oh, they're going to be coming along with their special touch or their ability to do X, Y, and Z. But that was only because of a certain group of players that gelled in a certain way and responded to the way that they managed. So you've always got to take that into account.
Right, so yes, last night, Mourinho was saying today and after that it was perfect and it all went extremely well and all the rest. But the plan obviously wasn't to score goals.
I was coming there. I was going to ask you what
your thoughts
were.
How do you turn around and say that? How do you put a team out and say, yes, it all went perfectly and it was great and that we were great and all the rest of it? There was no ball hit the back of the net. net.
So it wasn't perfect in your mind?
No.
Well, I think, you know, people expected Liverpool to come out all guns blazing and fire ahead and try and score a few quick ones. So in those terms, Mourinho, I suppose, had to come out and say, we've got to play defensively. But in terms of scoring, there's
like
none of that.
It's like Usain Bolt in the Olympics going out and sort of coming like in the middle of the pack and say, yeah, it all went to plan. I just wanted to go out and run around there. I didn't want to win or anything. I just wanted to run around.
What's more surprising to me, though, Gareth, is the fact that you weren't there at half time. You've been talking so much about all these team talks and your, you know, words with the player. Where were you? What's going on?
I'll be there on Thursday night, actually. I will be there on Thursday night. So
right.
I'll be having a chat. Yeah.
I'll be up to
Alex Ferguson, actually, and say, get back down there. Get back down there, kid.
Breaking news, Q Radio presenter seen it.
I'll probably not be allowed in, but anyway. What else have we got going on then?
Well, in Gaelic games, we've got a few finals over the weekend. We had the Armagh Senior Football Championship final, which Macquarie won. The Antrim Senior Football Championship final that Cargan won. They beat St Gall's. Slotnil are the new Derry Senior Football Champions. Glenswilly and Donegal. And then a couple of finals that were postponed because of the weather. So we had Tyrone and Cavan's postponed there. So plenty of action there. And ice hockey as well. Were you watching any of it yourself?
I was watching it on the new way to watch sport on Twitter.
On Twitter, live streaming and things like that.
Because it was being updated and live streamed, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, good weekend for Belfast Giants. Good weekend in the Elite League. Away to Coventry, they beat them 4-1 on Saturday. And then away in Nottingham on Sunday, they beat them 2-1. So...
On other news, the Northwest 200, which I'm a big fan of.
Yes.
You were down at an event yesterday.
Yes, Sports Minister Paul Given has pledged nearly around £125,000 for safety measures up there.
Yeah.
So I was chatting to Lee Johnson from Anna Racer about that. He said it's great. You know, it could mean that more fans will be attracted to come and watch, obviously, if it's going to be safer. Tens of thousands, of course, every year. Gareth come from around the globe to watch it. So very exciting news there. And it's just such a massive, massive event.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that they are doing some stuff with it because you're obviously very heavily involved with it as well. I've been watching it from a very young age and go every year. The numbers have started to dwindle because they had the weather.
Yes.
We had the oil spillage, of course, in the track. And some people are saying, is there any point coming over? Because when I go over and spend all the money to get off work and on my sort of accommodation and so forth, and then with the weather and oil spills and stuff, sometimes it's been cancelled. So it's great. It's great that they are investing into it. And the on a business perspective as well. And the amount of money that it brings into the North Coast over that period is great. So it's great to see that they're being active and doing some stuff with that.
Definitely, yeah. It's a great, you know, it's a great network of towns up there. It's a great location for a beautiful North Coast.
Yeah.
There's a real buzz as well. All the fans are always in good spirits. So hopefully the weather plays ball, but that's what you've always got to factor. Funny thing is, it's in May. That should be a great time for weather because when I was at school, that was always the best time. And then you get off and it's raining every day, you know. So
well, yes, hopefully this year or next year we have a brilliant event and the numbers start coming back for it. I absolutely love it. People that aren't even interested in what bikes just go to it for the atmosphere because as you said the North Coast over that week long period is brilliant. Simon will keep you updated with all things sport on Q Radio each and every hour. Thank you for listening to the podcast and we'll chat again on Friday.
Thank you.